This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
I'm going to call you Margie.
Listen, the only thing I'm drunk on is butter.
You're drunk.
No.
And butter.
Stoked. It'd be butter and popcorn.
He's slick.
It was bad.
I can see it oozing through your intestines.
Gentlemen, right, I ate many quarts of popcorn last night.
Quarts of popcorn?
Can you imagine an average size roaster pan?
That's big. As in the one I put my turkey in on Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah, that's what I usually do with our family for popcorn.
Right.
Thinking my rest of my, you know, we have eight of us there that right. would usually eat popcorn.
Did you elbow them out of the way?
And no, nope. Only two of us actually ate popcorn.
Me and myself.
And I. That was the third one, I guess. No, but actually about two, I think maybe there was maybe out of that pan, there could have been a bowl that was eaten out of it besides me. And it was bad.
Joe.
Just bad. It was just not a good night.
And it's okay.
And this morning was even worse.
Really? Well, because you had to live through it.
Yeah. Living through the effects.
Yeah, you came in, you were looking a little...
Peaked?
Messed.
Well, you were walking Stoned. Funny.
Drunk!
No.
He was popcorn. In a food coma.
Yeah,
popcorn.
Well, I'm just saying, that was the same appearance.
I was in the grease slick.
It was different than the MSG visit we get at the...
It was much different than the MSG.
Think of the birds that are wallowing around in the petroleum slicks on the beach. That's your intestines.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you don't just take a dab of butter.
No.
That's an insult.
Well, there's a lot of popcorn. So
a lot of popcorn.
So you need a lot of butter.
Like how much?
Well, I use one stick of butter for the pan.
You know, whole stick.
It's a quarter cup.
So basically.
No. Is that what a stick is? A quarter cup?
Yeah.
It's like 8 tablespoons.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how much calories are in a tablespoon? Like 200, no, I think.
It was bad.
That's 1,600 calories per stick.
That's too many.
And how many roasting pans?
I have no one. It was not roasting pans. One roasting pan full.
You didn't need to borrow my roasting pan so you could have
no,
two roasting pans?
It's not good. Gentlemen.
16 tablespoons of butter.
I have to tell you, it's been 5 weeks since I had popcorn. It was a weak moment last night, and it was all over. But it's not going to happen again.
All I want to know, did your hands ever enter the pan, or was it a face berry?
Daddy, can I have some popcorn?
Ooh, he does get angry.
Touch it, you lose it. Touch it, you lose it.
There's more meat in this popcorn than I thought.
Fingernails.
Oh boy.
Strike that.
Welcome back to High Rescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Buttery. We're feeling buttery.
Buttery.
Schlick.
From the shtick.
Yes.
Not the tablespoon, but the shtick. Well, we're going to cover several things, and I'm going to change things up a little bit.
You go right ahead.
Started thinking about this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to our listeners that we don't tell them a little bit more about what we're going to cover.
Hmm.
Sometimes we have a little bit of a bumpy start in the morning.
As long as they don't hold us to covering every topic.
Yeah, sometimes we digress or regress or progress.
Yeah, because what you will know about us
is
that we will cover the things we think are the best.
That's sure.
That's right.
Right. We don't want to impinge on our
not
artistic
always first,
creativity.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They're all good.
Right.
But in varying degrees.
Right.
Right. Right.
And we were talking about that. The old singer from Queen, Freddie Mercury. Talented band, in my opinion.
Extraordinary.
You know, I mean, I didn't agree with their some things, but I mean,
the
musical talent was there. The
giftedness was there.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about, you know, your top 40 pop rock. This is talent. This is writing music and songs that were really diverse.
Yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
Starts out really slow, like a ballad. And then goes into what, Jody?
Yeah.
Well, you got a degree in music.
Yeah, it changes. It modulates. It changes tempos. It changes styles. It's a very musical piece. It's really interesting because, and trust me, let me just preface this because I can't get this out without prefacing this.
Burning trust me, in the gates of Gehenges.
Trust me, I do not agree at all with what that song is about. But what I'm
for all
to say,
of you friends listening to Jody, there's his disclaimer.
We're dragging him into this.
They're dragging kicking me, and screaming. Kicking and screaming. But to say musical,
we're not talking ability, about agreeing with his lifestyle necessarily. We're just saying his music style was incredible.
The talent behind that song is amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And you don't hear that every day. I think of Yes.
Oh,
similar.
Tremendous.
Kansas.
Rush.
Rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of talent out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, we're kind of like that song, Bohemian Rhapsody. We modulate a lot. That's my whole point.
Ebb and flow.
Yeah. Start slow.
Hither and yon.
And fast.
Mm-hmm. Yin
start
and
fast. And slow.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a break.
Jody doesn't like yin and yang.
Who are they? Kidding. I'm kidding.
Neighbors.
I think I called it something different once. You ever do that mid-sentence and you go, I don't think that's the right words. It sounded like yin and yang, but it wasn't.
Ding dong.
No, it was. I don't know what it was, but it didn't. It wasn't.
Ring and ring.
No.
Ring and ring.
I know. What would it have been? What rhymes with yin and yang, but doesn't?
Shming and shming. Tin and ting.
No. I don't remember. Anyways. Well, we're going to be covering everything from why do we get gray hair? What makes our roots turn gray? Snowblower hand injuries. You know, up here in the great white north of Michigan, we're in March, but I think I remember April Fool's Days having blizzards.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have a couple snowblower days still.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, don't put your hand in the snowblower. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We've got another article on AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
There's some new breaking news on that. A little bit more about plastic, the BPA, bisphenol A, in baby bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Wine may be protective against esophageal cancer. Little plug for wine there. Caffeine may offer some skin cancer protection. We got a fun little lineup here.
Bring out the sun. La 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 la.
Well, anyways, I'm grain.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I'm grain. But I'm getting gray. I am.
Dan's been gray.
No, okay. I wasn't going to say anything. Cross the line.
Oh. Jody.
Cross the line.
Ouch.
As I've told my older siblings, as I am the youngest of eight, I still got mine.
There you go.
Baby.
At least you weren't like Big Leroy down there who's bald. Look at the size of those biceps. 42-inch biceps. He says,
guns.
Thank you. Now I can keep my beautiful hair pretty. He doesn't have any.
See, I can only talk about your gray hair because
I'm
losing my hair. I've got the spot right in the center of the top of my head that is looking more bald every day.
You know, Jody, I heard a recent study on what can help hair growth.
Don't say urine.
Oh, I'm nice.
Seriously?
Edit that one, Paul.
No, wait a minute. Listen to
me. Take that one right out of there.
No, it is a real, true thing. There are a lot of people that use urine on their hair for hair growth.
Edit that one, Paul.
Rogaine spelled backwards is urine.
No.
No, buttered popcorn.
Oh. You're such a liar. There will be no link to that on the website.
Jody's Beautiful Bride. Please stock up on popcorn tonight.
To prevent my gray hair. I'm turning.
Anyways, NPR on the Talk of the Nation, February 27, 2009, says gray hair is a common sign of aging, but just what causes locks to lose their color isn't well understood. Dr. Gerald Weissman discusses new research suggesting that hydrogen peroxide buildup in hair follicles may bleach the color from the hair as it leaves the scalp.
Hmm. Weird.
What do you think of that?
Like from shampoo?
Yeah. I don't know.
Hydrogen peroxide.
No idea where the hydrogen peroxide. I guess you'll have to just.
So it's bleaching it.
Yeah, maybe.
No, because it's not turning white. It's
gray.
It's gray.
Well, it's clear.
See, mine's blonde.
It's losing its pigment.
Yeah. Oh.
Right? Or what is it? Not pigmentation.
I don't even know what hair has.
What is it that colors hair?
I don't know. I thought it was pigmentation.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'll find out.
So there you go.
This year I'm turning the big 40 in about another short period of time.
Yeah, after that you're just going to be Mr. Whitehead.
That's it? Well, yeah. Baldy in the top.
Whitehead.
I'm blonde, so the gray doesn't show through quite as easy.
Have you guys...
Towhead.
Yeah. Speaking of getting hair caught in things, we had an accident.
What?
Not too long. Well, yeah, I guess it was quite a while ago. A gal had her hair in a ponytail, go-kart racing.
This does not sound good.
No. And it was those high-speed go-karts.
Yeah. Ooh.
And the axle is in the back where your head is at. Ugh. And her ponytail came out and got caught in the axle.
Oh.
She was scalped.
Oh.
So I guess I'd rather have gray hair than no hair.
Yeah, especially via that method.
Ow. Yeah. So if you're going to be around moving machinery, make sure to have your hair tightly bound.
Oh, that's sad.
That was bad. But that reminded me of that when I thought of the hand injuries often are extensive in snowblowers.
Explain, for those of our southern friends who may or may not see snowblowers, explain why one would stick one's hand into the auger system.
I don't think they're...
non-running or a... clearly the auger's shut off.
Yeah, and us snow movers know it's not that we're reaching into the auger necessarily on purpose. It's that you're reaching into the chute.
They get clogged.
Right.
Yeah, with slush.
Yeah, depends on the snowfall.
Stick.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And it blocks it and won't shoot it anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes frequently, and thus you tend to take less precautions.
Correct. Right. Correct. Starts with a stick, moves to the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the problems are is that a lot of times those augers are still moving. You can't see it because the snow is in the way.
Right.
Your hand pops through faster than you thought it was going to, and down into the auger it goes. Now, the person that was in this Health Day article said, the injuries need to be prevented because they're not the type of injuries that can be reconstructed. And this was Dr. Daniel Master, an orthopedic surgery resident at University Hospital's Case Medical Center in Cleveland, and the study's lead author. Now, the nature of the tissue damage caused by snowblowers makes a full recovery extremely difficult and often leads to amputation. Even if you have the amputated part, it's essentially useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not a clean cut?
No. Well, it's like chainsaws. Once the chainsaw cuts the skin is gone, destroyed.
Yeah.
You don't reattach that. It's the same thing with snowblowers. Once it destroys it, it rips it apart, avulses the skin, and it can't be put back on.
Yep. Turn the snowblower off. Completely. And easy to preach it, hard to follow it.
Well, I think lawnmower accidents happen similarly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never get that hand back.
Never.
So.
Farming accidents.
Turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
Turn them off. So there it is on snowblower hand injuries. Another reason why you guys didn't have the article. Now, we've talked in the past about bisphenol A. I'm kind of a proponent, I'd say.
Well, absolutely. And what's really cool is when we're setting up we set up a new coffee pot.
Yep.
And when we requested to have all copper line, they looked at us like,
what? Like we were aliens.
Yeah. They're like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Even to that? To the water fountain.
Yeah. Now, understandably, that's only part of it, right? And personally, I like copper pipes because I think they're bacteriostatic to some level, right? You add copper to get rid of things in swimming pools. Copper has always been an antiviral, known to be antiviral property.
So
when we talk about copper tubing and piping for waters, I just think personally, putting two and two together, it's healthier water. Secondly, there's so many studies coming out about the plasticizers in plastic materials leaching into water that we are virtually just scraping the very surface of the long-term and short-term effects of bisphenol A. I had one urologist, a pediatric urologist, tell me that he's hearing of more and more underdeveloped genitalia in young boy babies. Mm-hmm. The urethral opening is in the wrong spot on the glans. The testes are not descending down. So there's a lot of this thing that really you actually have to have testosterone to have the boy baby's body mature right? Okay. There's been some studies showing that higher levels of estrogen mimickers, or what we call hormone disruptors or mimickers like bisphenol A, is actually causing problems in both females and males. Okay, so there's the long and the short of it, and I'm not going to go too much into depth on it in this episode, but if you can eliminate it, eliminate it. And what we did is we just stopped drinking out of cheap plastic at home. If we don't have to store our food in plastic, we don't. We certainly don't reheat our food in plastic anymore. We don't steam our beans in plastic anymore. You follow what I'm saying? Yes. So there's, you know, we probably had two bags, grocery bags of plastic things we removed that were coming in contact with heat. And heat is one of the things that helps to mediate those chemicals into the fluids or foods that they're contained in. Not to mention plastic lined cans, soda cans, milk containers, and so on and so forth. Okay. All right. That being said, when this first came out in the Journal of American Medical Association's, the JAMA articles, there was about three or four back-to-back journals that were talking about plasticizers and chemicals being leached into normal saline, formulas for IV nutrients, and so on and so forth. And I said, oh, look at this, it's hitting the fan. And then it kind of disappeared for a while, and now it's even more out. If you go to like hiking stores, you're looking at BPA-free Nalgene bottles. Mm-hmm. Camelback puts out a BPA-free container. And bisphenol A is only one of the things. Mm-hmm. There's more. But regardless of that, lawmakers in one New York county have voted to ban the sales of baby bottles made with a chemical that some studies have suggested is harmful to young children. The measure passed Tuesday by the Suffolk County Legislature would ban the use of the chemical BPA in baby bottles and sippy cups sold for use by children under four. Officials say that if the measures receive final approval, it would be the first of its kind in the U.S. I say bravo.
You know what's really interesting to that is that was, I thought that was going to be a federal ban on BPA for baby bottles, what they're trying to pass.
In my opinion,
but. Well, they were trying to pass that, and it completely got struck down. But you know why? I think, again, this is just an opinion here. Lobbyists for the plastic makers.
Well, it says down here, BPA is used in many types of plastics, and the chemical industry contends it is safe.
Yes.
The Food and Drug Administration last year agreed it was safe, but it is doing more research. I'm telling you right now that they are going to find that the proof is in the pudding. Yes. It is not safe.
Yeah.
Yep. But there are, you're right, Jody, there are so many petroleum lobbying dollars involved in this. Yeah. It's just terrible. So anyways, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, and you have to actually go back further than that now, but if you went back 80 years ago to 70 years ago, I don't think much of anything was ever stored in plastic.
Oh, they didn't. It was like the big Tupperware generation in the 60s that really got the idea that you can store stuff in plastic.
Yep.
You didn't see disposable plastic containers until, what, maybe 25 years ago? You didn't throw things out like that much.
No. Milk came in glass bottles.
Right. Your cottage cheese did.
Yeah. Think of all the soda.
Yeah.
Always. It was always in recycled glass bottles. Yeah. I can remember looking at the edges of the 16-ounce or the 12.5-ounce bottles of soda and looking at the bottom and seeing where the rolling through the sterilization process was wearing on those points.
Sure, these
and recycled. I was like, wow, that's recycled.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was glass.
Everything was.
It was glass. And I think some examples of that, and I'll throw this out, beer has never taken off in plastic bottles. They tried.
Yeah.
I think that there's something with that, with the brewing process and how beer is bottled, that people can't stand the taste of what the plastic does to that.
Yeah.
People can get wine in a box. Now, I'm not sure, but I think that's plastic coated.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really taking off. I think people do it because it's cheap and convenient, but...
Well, it seems like an aluminum wrap.
Is it?
Like a foil type.
But well, see, they won't let bad. It They won't let it get exposed to aluminum, though, because it takes on the aluminum properties.
That's well, what do you put it in, then?
That's lined glass? With plastic. Well, no, the aluminum is lined with plastic. All cans are lined with plastic.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Okay. Jody's got an experiment where he can mm-hmm. eat the outside of that Coca-Cola can.
Yeah.
And it'll leave a plastic bag.
Yeah, it leaves a plastic liner. You can take the metal off with a lye. It's a simple lye. You take it and you dip it in lye, let it sit there. It'll eat all the metal off, and you pull it up, and you got just plastic.
Plastic bag.
Yeah.
Every can. Aluminum can really? You find has mm-hmm. a plastic liner.
Why?
Because it can't come in contact with the aluminum, or you'll get the aluminum mm-hmm. taste, the metallic taste.
Why don't they just...
But try to go find your ketchup in a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You can, but it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Mustard, mayonnaise.
Glass. It always used to be in glass.
Always used to be in glass.
I mean, like, when I was growing up, I don't remember very many plastic bottles. Very few.
Yeah. So, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. And there's a lot of reports on adults and children and developing in utero babies on what the effects of these things are. So, not to cause mass hysteria, but... Keep your eyes open. Oh, there was a kind of a cool little thing here. You know, you always read this stuff. We should just be like a health food and drink show.
That's really
all we basically talk about. Yeah.
That's right. You can say things like, don't eat big, huge roaster pan fulls of popcorn. It'll make you sick. Duh.
Well, listen to this. From Medline Plus. Wine may be protective against esophageal cancer.
Why is that?
One glass a day may lower risk for Barrett's, a precursor to disease, study finds.
Did you say ferrets?
Barrett's. B-A-R-R-E-T-T, apostrophe S. Drinking a glass of wine a day may lower the risk of Barrett's esophagus, a condition that precedes esophageal cancer, which affects about 5% of the population. It occurs when heartburn or acid reflux. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sorry, Daniel and Jody.
Have another Diet Coke, Dan.
Yep. When reflux permanently damages the lining of the esophagus, people with this condition are 30 to 40 times more likely to develop a type of esophageal cancer called esophageal adenocarcinoma. In the last 30 years, the incidence of esophageal cancer in the United States has increased 500%.
Phew.
In how long? What's the time frame?
In the last 30 years.
Wow.
Plastics.
Yeah. Beer or liquor did not lower the risk, and the protective effect of wine didn't increase with higher consumption.
So are they plastic lining glass bottles?
No.
No.
There's no need to.
It's glass.
Glass is permeable. A sand. It's a silica.
Silica. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it's silica. Silica's got poisonous properties.
It's impermeable. In others.
So it's not porous.
Says it's not clear why wine may lower the risk of Barrett's esophagus. Researchers suggest it may be because of antioxidants in wine that neutralize the damage done by gastroesophageal reflux disease. Or it may be because wine drinkers typically have food with their wine, thereby reducing the potentially damaging effects that drinking alcohol alone can have on esophageal tissue. Pretty cool.
It is very interesting.
Yeah. Did I not give you guys copies of any of this?
Nope. But we are right there with you.
You're on it.
So you could truly say.
Yep.
So if you guys read this article.
And you could say.
I haven't a clue what you're talking
about.
Don't.
I haven't done it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you haven't had enough about beverages yet, here's another one.
What?
Tip of you.
Caffeine may offer some skin cancer protection.
Well, my skin is well protected.
Yeah. You just take it and dip it and rub it all over your skin.
I'll do that. Take a bath and coffee every day.
Sometimes I do on the way in.
This is a dumb question.
No questions dumb.
No.
Joe or Dan, whoever you are.
Are there different types of caffeine?
Different. That is a dumb question.
I'm just kidding. I take that back. That was the darn stupidest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, there's chocolate caffeine, coffee caffeine.
Seriously.
No, I don't really know.
I think caffeine is a chemical, right?
Yeah.
So caffeine's caffeine, no matter whether you get it from pop
or the different coffee sources. Mm-hmm. It could come from different sources, but the chemical, caffeine.
I have to look that up.
And sodas don't come naturally with caffeine.
They put it in.
Makes it Why? Taste
they better. Take it from coffee roasters who, for the most part, extract it through whatever processes they do extract the caffeine.
Process.
And then they ship out the caffeine to inject into the sodas. They do.
It tastes better.
Does not taste better.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a buzz. Yes, it does. It gives you a pickup.
Is it an addictive principle? Or if they get you addicted to
maybe
soda?
Ooh.
You will drink more?
You have, this is, could be like a...
Conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. I'm all about it.
Yeah,
well, past studies have suggested that caffeine might offer some protection from skin cancer, and new research may explain why. It's always good to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Why. We found what we believe to be the mechanism by which caffeine is associated with decreased skin cancer, said lead researcher Dr. Paul Nghiem. N-G-H-I-E-M. Nghiem. An associate professor of dermatology at the University of Washington in Seattle. For the study, Nghiem, how do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Anyway, his team, I'll call him Doc.
There you go.
Dr. Paul.
There you go.
Dr. Paul's team looked at caffeine's effect on human skin cells in a laboratory that had been exposed to ultraviolet radiation. They found that in the cells damaged by UV rays, caffeine interrupted a protein called ATR-CHK1.
Now you know.
Yeah. Causing the damaged cells to self-destruct. I'm sorry.
What?
What?
I don't get it.
So the caffeine doesn't really heal anything. It causes the damaged cells to just explode.
It purges them.
It causes them to self-destruct, Dr. Paul said.
Wait a minute. Caffeine has no effect on...
Has no effect on undamaged cells.
Okay, so you're talking cells that are damaged, the caffeine explodes.
Yeah.
Cells that are undamaged, there's no effect. Interesting. So it gets rid of the bad, keeps the good.
Yeah. ATR is essential to damaged cells that are growing rapidly, Dr. Paul said. And caffeine specifically targets damaged cells that can become cancerous. Oh. Caffeine more than doubles the number of damaged cells that will die normally after a given dose of UV, he said. This is a biological mechanism that explains what we have been seeing for many years from the oral intake of caffeine, he added. The findings were published online February 26 in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology.
It's interesting.
That is extremely fascinating.
Yeah, Doc says don't increase the amount of caffeine or tea they drink to prevent skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a lot of cups of coffee for a lot of years for a relatively small effect, he said. But if you like it, it's another reason to drink it.
Hmm.
Hear, hear.
Well, I'll enjoy my coffee.
Enjoy the coffee. Now, when I first saw this last article,
yeah,
I thought, that's funny. Scientists make HIV strain that can now infect monkeys.
Yeah.
See, the human HIV virus was not able to infect monkeys.
Right. There's, they know the background of that as well. Is that HIV is thought to
originated,
sure.
Originated from monkeys.
But see, there's another type of HIV-like virus called the simian immunodeficiency virus. And that is nicknamed SIV versus HIV. It causes a disease similar to AIDS in certain types of monkeys. Now, the reason that this hit me funny was just simply because I thought, why are we trying to make... Yeah. Another disease
we'll
that now
them.
More monkeys can get, and then it can mutate, and then we'll have another mess on our hands.
Yeah,
that was purely ignorant on my part, because I'm not a research scientist.
Power of a headline.
Well, yeah. Provocative.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the strain of HIV that they developed was so that they could infect this particular monkey so that they could try different treatments on the monkey prior to trying them on a human.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's safer. They can see the side effects. They can see the long-term, mid-term, short-term effects. Mm-hmm. The effectiveness much closer if they can actually do it on this monkey than experimenting on humans prior to releasing.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's an interesting article. I have to say I cheated a little bit. I actually read that one.
You said you wouldn't.
I know. But I thought that was interesting, though, the whole idea on the fact that the doctors, or I shouldn't say doctors, I should say researchers, were taking this, and because I thought that, it struck me weird. I thought, HIV, what in the world? But you're right. They took the HIV virus, made of HIV virus, that it can infect the monkeys, so they can study the effects, the long-term effects of this HIV virus. And then it's
they're so essentially they mutated it.
Correct. Yes,
they mutated
to a different species.
Correct. Because before, they would put it into the monkey, but the monkey would never contract HIV.
Yeah. Oh.
Just had its own ability to suppress the HIV.
That escapes me.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, I think in the long run, this is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God that we can actually have more distinctive tests run prior to experimentation on humans. Mm-hmm. And animal activists would probably disagree with me completely on that. Yeah. And they have a right to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'd like to hear from them.
Sure we would.
Yeah.
We'd like to have you on the show. Why not?
Tell us why it's a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up this episode of iRescue Radio. It's been great.
It has.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so long that I developed gray hair.
You're not 40 yet.
I can see he hasn't turned 40 yet.
That's not too many days away, though.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's really fishing for birthday presents here, people.
Yeah.
Kind of. No.
You know. Just wish him happy birthday.
All right.
Old fogey.
That's me.
Crotchety. Hey, he's getting better.
Sub 400, though.
He's getting better with age.
Wow.
Yep.
He's not
even You're improving the older you get.
Wow.
Think of that.
It's weird.
If you could get to be 42 and say, honey, I'm healthier at 42 than I was at 36.
Well, see, my goal, I'll tell you why. Why I finally came to the point and was able to finally get this, do something about this weight issue that I've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've always struggled back and forth.
Yep. But
one of the reasons why I finally got to the point is because I am going to be turning 40 shortly. I said by the time I turn 40, I want to be healthy. Not only that, we're having a new baby here coming up
in September. Hey, congratulations, Jodester.
So in September, we're going to have a new baby. And so we're going to have the perfect number of children. We're going to have 7. And so I'm excited about that.
If you believe that 7's the perfect number.
I do.
He has 8. So well, that's to say, Dan, you don't have the perfect
imperfect.
Number.
No,
you're imperfect.
No, 8 is enough. Anyhow, that was sad.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the idea is I want to be a father that's hanging around for a while to my children. I don't want to be an old, unhealthy, diabetic-ridden,
butter-eating, popcorn stuffing,
cardiac.
Put the
risk,
roaster away.
Cardiac risk. Exactly.
We're gonna watch him secretly.
I want to be healthy.
Let's sneak up on his house, Jody. Put the roaster down. We'll pay his kids to steal the butter out of the refrigerator. There's like a whole box out in the garage.
George, you're half of you don't even like popcorn. Why are you eating it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Shaw gave us the check for...
I have to say, it was a bad...
You won't do it again.
No. I am in good shape.
Or you won't admit it.
I'm better now.
Yeah, he won't. He certainly won't.
Listen,
tell
guys,
us that he did.
I am
you
transparent.
Too much.
I'm too transparent.
Jody
I can't
is.
Hide anything.
You can't.
No.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's a great vulnerability.
Who likes to hide it? Ugh. Not me.
Why are you
from the
at
studios
me?
Of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I am Joe.
Butter.
I'm Butter. Butter.
Just call
I'm
butter.
Jody.
I'm Dan.
Have a good week.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.